radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Since it is my anniversary, I told the ministers that I don't guess anybody be mad if I preach an old sermon and my favorite sermon, so that if nobody else gets happy, I'm preaching for me this morning. Is that all right? All right. And our mics, we got to get these mics right. They're not right, but we're going to be fine. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you would speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people, God. Help us to remember, God, that you are God and you're God all by yourself. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It really was Thursday, I believe. Turn these podium mics off. Turn the podium mics off. They're off? All right. Turn Raymond's mic off. Turn Raymond's mic off. Turn Raymond's mic off. All right. Cut right. Go back. If you go back there and see if you can figure it out. Hallelujah. While he's doing that, y'all whisper this chant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You've been so good. You've been so good. Let me ask y'all to stand one. Yeah. Now, let's give the Lord a rousing round of applause. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I want to remind you this morning that as it relates to the gospel message, and we know that the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we need to remember that these gospels were directed to different groups of people. Matthew, in his writing, directed his gospel primarily to the Jews, whereas Mark presents his gospel primarily to the Romans. Luke, you'll recall, gives his emphasis to the Greeks. But John, when John got ready to pen this third chapter, this 16th verse, when John got ready to pen his gospel, he did not have any group or nationality in mind. John was concerned about the whole world. Let me hear everybody say the whole world. Matthew was concerned about the promise of a coming Messiah. Mark, on the other hand, talks about the life of a powerful Savior. Luke says that we have the grace of a perfect Savior. But John, in his writing, he sums his writing up by stressing the importance of having a personal Savior. Tell your neighbor you need to know him for yourself. We say it all the time, you know, that it's all right for mama to know him. It's all right for daddy to know him. It's all right that your grandparents knew him. But my brothers and sisters, you better learn. You better get to know God for yourself. Matthew says that Christ came to minister. Luke, on the other hand, says that Christ came to save. But John says that he came to give his life. So in this setting, John proclaims that for God so loved the world. The theme of this verse is love. For God so loved the world. And you know, my brothers and sisters, there are all types of love. There is eros, the love between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. There is phileo, the love between friends. But then there is the ultimate love, that love that we call agape love. Amen. And that is divine love. And this is the love that John was speaking of when he said, for God so loved the world. Tell your neighbor, it's an unconditional love. Oh my, it's an unselfish love. And do you know what I like about it? God just loves us. Do I have a witness today? Come on, where are my real folk who will admit that he loves us sometimes in spite of us? Oh, I know I got to have a witness here today who will testify that God loves us, in spite of our condition, in spite of our meanness, in spite of our sinfulness, and don't act like you don't have any, in spite of our underhanded tricks, in spite of our ducking and dodging, in spite of our low down and downright wickedness, God just loves us. And if there's anybody who feels his love this morning, you ought to give him a praise. Because you do know how we love, don't you? You know how we love. Our love is most often based upon what I like to call reciprocity. In other words, we love the folk who love us. But God loved us when we were loveless. He loved us when we were unlovable. For God so loved the world. Now, I want you to note that there are four important aspects of love in this verse. Number one, there is the supreme fact of love. That is that God so loved the world. I mean, that's just a fact. But then there is the supreme proof of love. That is that he gave. But then the third thing I want you to note is the supreme gift of love. That is his only begotten son. But then the fourth thing you need to note is that there is a supreme goal to love, and that is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, I love it. I love it because within these 25 words, there is a complete synopsis of the entire gospel message. There is within this passage God and love, mankind, sin, Christ, and death, atonement, and life everlasting is all right here in this 16th verse. For God so loved. This thing of God's love, I have discovered in my own life, I've discovered that God's love in a real sense is incomprehensible. It's more than Garner can understand. I thank God for my little degree from Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But when I start trying to figure out why God loved me and how God loves me, can I be real this morning? I've got to acknowledge that I don't understand how, because if I was somebody else and if I knew about me what I know about me, I probably wouldn't love me. Am I by myself today? But God's love is incomprehensible. One writer said that love covers the multitude of sin. I dare you to think about that for one or two minutes. It covers the multitude of sin. I dare you to just take inventory on today. Don't get to thinking about the mess ups you made this week. And certainly don't get to thinking about the mess ups you made this year. And then when you start calculating the mess ups you've made over a lifetime, you've got to admit that when the Bible says that love covers the multitude of sins, somebody ought to say, God, I thank you. Paul said that he was persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Y'all, that tells me that there is no height that God's love cannot scale. That tells me that there is no depth that God's love cannot reach down to. That tells me that there is no length or width that can defy the measurements of God's love. And that's the reason John said, for God so loved the world. This word is an incalculable word. When we try to define this word so, we have to acknowledge a certain sense of inadequacy. You see, I don't know the number of miles that occupy the immensity of space because there are so many. I don't know how many stars are shining in their silvery sprockets because there are so many. I don't know the number of hairs on one's head because there are so many.
I cannot count the number of grains of sand upon the earth because there are so many. I don't know how many fish there that are swimming merrily in the deep because there are so many. I don't know how many times the Lord has had to forgive me of all of my sins and all of my transgressions and all of my shortcomings because there are. You got that right. So if you would ask me, how high is so? If you were to say, Pastor Garner, how wide is so? If you would quiz me and ask me how long is so and how deep is so, all that I can conclude is that God's love is higher than height. God's love is wider than width. God's love is longer than length. God's love is deeper than death. And did you know, my brothers and sisters, that God doesn't need anything from us? But he needs us. What you talking about, Pastor? I said he doesn't need anything from us, but he needs us. What are you talking about? I'm trying to remind you that there was somebody in heaven named Lucifer. And if you remember, you remember that Lucifer was in charge of praise and worship in heaven. But Lucifer got beside himself and started thinking that he was more than God. Lucifer started thinking that he was the beauty of heaven. Lucifer started thinking that he was all that and a bag of chips. And I may as well pause parenthetically and tell you that whenever you start thinking more of yourself than you ought to, God has a way of bringing you down. And Lucifer started thinking that he was all that and a bag of chips. And God said, you don't know I'm in charge. And the Bible says that God kicked Lucifer out of heaven. And God said, I'm not going to raise up another angel to be in charge of my praise. God said, I will scoop some dirt from the dust of the earth and make for myself some people who will sing my praise. And if you didn't know it this morning, the reason God still has you around is because you are a vessel for his praise. That's why you can't keep quiet. That's why you can't shut up. That's why you got to keep singing and praising him, because God needs you to give him praise. I wish I had one or two people up in here who will say, you don't have to pump me up. You don't have to prod me. You don't have to push me, because he's been good to me. I don't mind giving him praise. Let the praise of God ring out this morning. If God has been good to you, you ought to give him praise. If you know he woke you up this morning, you ought to give him praise. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Give him praise. Give him praise. John 3:16. I love it. I love it. This is my favorite passage, because you'll find that in this passage are the greatest of the great. For God